Chapter 6, The Power of Self-Expression and Creative Endeavors. Each of us is a creative being. Whether or not we recognize it, we all have the potential to bring beauty, meaning, and healing into the world. Julia Cameron. Did you know that Nobel Prize recipients are nearly 3 times more likely to engage in creative hobbies than their scientific counterparts? Theoretical physicist Albert Einstein often played the violin when he encountered challenges in his theoretical work. He believed that music helped him think more creatively and tap into his subconscious, enabling breakthroughs such as the theory of relativity. Marie Curie, a 2-time Nobel laureate for physics in 1903 and chemistry in 1911, went for frequent walks in the countryside, which allowed her to reflect and rejuvenate. These moments of tranquility likely helped her maintain focus during the grueling work of isolating radioactive elements. Richard Feynman, Nobel laureate for physics in 1965, a bongo player who regularly performed in orchestra pits, solved nagging scientific problems using acoustic images. The statistics back up the stories. Scientists who are Nobel laureates are 22 times more likely than typical scientists to perform, sing, or act in their spare time, 12 times more likely to write fiction, plays, poetry, or short stories, 5 times more likely to engage in crafting, woodworking, mechanics, or glassblowing, 7 times more likely to enjoy designing, painting, drawing, or sculpting. Why are Nobel Prize winners more likely to have artistic hobbies? It's because they're simply more open to having hobbies. They are more open to novel experiences and often turn to their creative endeavors when working through challenges. These seemingly unrelated scientific pursuits and personal hobbies can open doors for scientists to cross-pollinate ideas across different fields, enabling them to gain fresh perspectives and uncover new insights. Now, you may not be working towards securing the title of a Nobel laureate. Still, you might be interested in learning the secrets of expanding your mind, creating new connections, and better integrating the two sides of your brain hemispheres to provide better care or nurture your inner life. You may be wondering how having an artistic hobby or winning a Nobel Prize in science relates to excelling as a diabetes specialist or healthcare professional. As a healthcare professional, you have likely lived through difficult experiences or witnessed profound suffering firsthand. Plenty of science supports the idea that engaging in creative pursuits offers an outlet to express complex emotions that are not accessible through words alone. The act of playing an instrument, taking an art class, exploring nature, or playing the bongo drums may provide a gateway to address unrequited trauma or pain, helping you to become more fully aware and present with your feelings. This healing and self-awareness allows you to connect more fully and authentically with the people you work with and the individuals you serve. Like Einstein, Curie, and Feynman, getting out of the lab and your head encourages mind roaming and the opportunity to make unexpected connections that can help with problem solving and innovation. I've lost count of how many work challenges I've resolved and moments of inspiration I've experienced while trekking through the Sierra wilderness, building my pond, or balancing a sword on my head. As my close friend and professor of public health at USC, Jane Steinberg, PhD, beautifully describes, I have played flute and piano since I was a small kid. In the last few years, starting at the age of 60, I decided to up my game and dedicate more attention to playing flute with a focus on improvisational jazz, one of my favorite musical art forms. Jazz is a tricky beast. It is free-flowing and entirely improvisational, yet you need to know those chords, changes, and scales. While I am relearning the theory and mechanics of jazz, I am also playing by ear and enjoying the sheer joy of making beautiful harmonic melodies, even if they come by surprise. I hope that at some point I can fully integrate the two parts of my brain for more seamless playing. I also participate in an adult improv acting class once per month with friends. The combination of these artistic experiences has unlocked something in my brain that has noticeably impacted my workflow. Listening carefully for chord changes and focusing on musical notes has translated into a renewed ability to concentrate for more extended periods of time in my job without getting so easily distracted. I seem to remember dates and facts more readily, and I credit this to my musical immersion in memorizing scales, modes, and chords. I look forward to seeing where these intersecting improvisational experiences take me. Can you recall an aha moment when the solution to that perplexing problem was magically dropped at the doorstep of your mind? You may not have been thinking about this difficulty with your conscious mind, but in the middle of singing in the shower, the answer arrived before you had time to rinse out your conditioner. As you continue reading, I believe you'll be pleasantly surprised to discover that creative pursuits not only bring joy and unexpected solutions, but they may also reignite a dormant, imaginative spark deep within you and provide an opportunity for healing. Getting into your body and out of your mind. Two things immediately happen when I tell people I am a belly dancer. First, they ask if I meant to say ballet dancer. Next, they glance at my belly and wonder if it isn't a little too large to be exposed in public. I gently inform them with a smile and a wink that this ancient dance form celebrates women of all body types, shapes, and ages. At 42, I found myself at a health food store picking up acidophilus for my one-year-old who had diarrhea due to antibiotic therapy. This was his second bout of antibiotics in the past 6 months, and his GI system was not happy. I felt like a walking zombie. My t-shirt was wrinkled and smelled like vomit from Robert, my 3-year-old, who also had some stomach flu. I hadn't changed my sweatpants in days, and my hair was in a messy bun, best described as a bird's nest. With acidophilus, applesauce, and bananas in hand, I avoided eye contact with the checkout clerk and hoped he had a weak sense of smell. A small flyer on the counter area caught my eye as I grabbed my bag. Who knew that this little flyer, no bigger than the palm of my hand, would change my life forever? It featured a dancer with a big skirt and coin bra, arms open and confident, twirling with her head tilted slightly back. She wore a big smile and several flowers adorned her hair. At that moment, dazed and waiting in line, she talked to me and let me know that I needed to join her 6-week introductory tribal belly dance class starting next month. The beaming dancer reassured me that no prior dance experience was required. She whispered a reminder of how much I used to love to go out dancing with my husband, an activity I had long since given up as part of the trade-off to raise my kids and run a company. Later that night after dinner, I showed my husband Chris the pocket-sized flyer. "What do you think?" I asked. "Go," he said without a second of hesitation. "What about the kids?" I asked. "I got them. No worries. You need to dance." The day before the first class, I panicked. What was I going to wear? There was no way in hell I was going to expose my pillowy belly that had been stretched and rearranged to accommodate 2 recent children. A quick sweep of my closet for possible outfits was even more dismaying. All I had to choose from were professional dresses and suits or sweatpants and t-shirts. I looked at the flyer to see if there was any hints about what to wear. It stated, "Dress comfortably for movement." I finally decided on navy sweatpants with pink fuchsia piping on either side and a matching long-sleeved ribbed t-shirt. It was 6:40 p.m. and I was ready to kiss my husband and kids goodbye and reassure them, "Mommy will be back soon." My 1-year-old Jackson started crying. "Go," my husband pleaded. "I just can't," I said. Tears were in my eyes too. In a remarkable moment of determination, I stood up, landed Jackson in my husband's arms, and ran toward the door. I heard Jackson's wailing on the other side of the door, but I kept walking forward. I opened my car door, entered the driver's seat, and turned on the ignition. Looking in the mirror to back out of the garage, I caught a glimpse of my reflection. My hair looked cute, with bangs and my usual bird's nest bun in the back. I had remembered to put on some lipstick. My mascara was running from the tears welling up in my eyes, but it didn't stop me. I drove to class that evening filled with a confluence of pure excitement and an intense yearning to reconnect with a girl inside who loved to dance and twirl. From deep within, an inner voice took charge and piloted me exactly to where I needed to go. Many of us, that includes you, super-achieving scientific types, have dedicated ourselves to our fields of study, and in doing so, we have left our original hobbies and artistic passions in the dust. Who can blame us? We had to finish college, pay bills, start the painful adulting process, and get laser-focused on succeeding in our field and proving ourselves. On top of that, you might be caring for others or burdened with a mountain of obligations, making it seem like you don't have time to engage your creativity. Here is the simple truth. Now is the time to discover or reclaim the beautiful expanse of who you are, in addition to your daily job and life obligations. Even if you only commit to engaging in creativity for a few minutes a week, it makes a difference. Stop thinking about all the reasons you can't do it, and instead, listen to that internal hum. Get in the metaphorical car, turn on the ignition, and just drive. As Julie Cameron, author of The Artist's Way, suggests, in filling the well of creativity, think magic, think delight, think fun. Do not think duty. Do not do what you should do. Do what intrigues you. The benefit of dancing for all ages. At the age of 61, I still belly dance. I shimmy weekly with our troupe, Rebellion, and teach classes on dance and body positivity at a local museum. On the next page is a photo of us backstage before a performance. Our troupe delivers family-friendly performances at local fundraisers, dazzling audiences as we balance swords on our heads, play zills, and sashay across the floor in rhythm with the music. The women in our troupe range from ages 31 to 67. We are teachers, biology majors, PhDs, coffee shop managers, nurses, moms, wives, and a diabetes specialist. If you had told me on that day in the health food store that I would belly dance in public as part of a troupe for 20 years, I would have stared at you in sheer belief. But now I've realized a simple truth. I will never stop dancing again, not only because of the cardiovascular benefits or to maintain a smaller waistline. There are countless other more important reasons I am committed to dancing for as long as possible. The year I started taking belly dance classes, I was halfway through writing a chapter for a nursing textbook on the relationship between cardiovascular disease and diabetes. I spent hours digging through research papers, trying to consolidate complicated information into understandable paragraphs. It was rough going, but it became noticeably easier when I started dancing. It seemed that asking my body to move in new ways and memorizing choreography was lighting up my brain. My writing flowed more naturally, making presenting scientific data in a clear, intelligible format easier. I was able to grasp how complex concepts interconnected and discern their underlying relationships more quickly. In dance class, I had to work hard on getting my left non-dominant hand to participate in the choreography and make it look elegant. Little did I know that I was building a whole new neural freeway system in my brain while I was strengthening and connecting with my body. The scientific data backs up my experience. Dancing significantly enhances neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to adapt and form new neural connections due to its combination of physical movement, mental engagement, and emotional expression. Learning dance steps in sequence engages memory and learning, creating new pathways and improving cognitive flexibility. Dancing integrates auditory, visual, and proprioceptive body awareness inputs. Given this multi-sensory experience, dancing enhances connection between different brain regions, fostering greater adaptability and efficiency. Dancing also makes us feel good, since it's associated with increased levels of dopamine, serotonin, and brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, which is essential for neuroplasticity. In addition to improving idea integration, dancing enhanced my confidence and made me a more dynamic and physical public speaker. I felt more comfortable moving around in my body and less self-conscious standing in front of the class. Knowing how much dancing improved learning, I started leading dance moves during my lectures, encouraging the audience to stand up and join in. I would incorporate left and right body activities to activate both sides of participants' brains to help them assimilate content-dense topics. Attendees of my conferences learn the diabetes flash mob, the Macarena, and other body crossover moves. Humans are built for movement, and our brains function more effectively when we stay active. Social dancing fosters human connection, which activates the social brain network and supports neuroplastic changes associated with empathy and communication. The simple act of getting the class up and dancing transforms a quiet audience into a laughing and connected group of movement enthusiasts. Blending my passions, encouraging people with diabetes to dance. When we are least expecting it, the universe sends us instructions. I did not envision myself as a dancer or imagine that I would teach dance moves to healthcare professionals while presenting at diabetes conferences. By blending my passion with my profession, I found a more profound sense of authenticity, embracing all parts of myself while encouraging others to do the same. Inspired by how dancing revitalized and engaged professionals, I started incorporating it into classes I taught for individuals living with diabetes. Enhancing neuroplasticity is especially beneficial for people with diabetes as they face a significantly higher risk of developing dementia due to elevated or low blood glucose levels and other related factors. Regular dancing reduces cognitive decline and improves memory in aging brains. By combining physical, mental, and emotional elements, dancing uniquely stimulates the brain, fostering resilience and adaptability, all while improving balance. Of course, we must consider our audience and be cognizant of limitations and physical safety. With the easy availability of YouTube, there is now access to all levels of dance movement instructions that match the individual's ability. I encourage people to explore styles and music that resonates with them and start slowly. If dancing isn't your thing, there are plenty of other creative activities to explore: gardening, yoga, tai chi, zumba, or organized sports like pickleball. All offer similar benefits. Dancing is one example of how hobbies that engage our creativity while incorporating body movement can enrich our lives. It highlights the importance of honoring creativity as a vital part of life, even if we're initially unsure of its value. Ideas to light your creative spark. Did you have a childhood or adult hobby you loved doing, one that made you lose track of time as you entered the zone referred to as the flow? Have you given yourself permission to make time for that hobby and lose yourself in that creative process? You may want to take a ceramics or writing class, join a local choir, or start a band. Perhaps you found an old camera and want to learn more about photography, or realized you're really good at painting. It can be hard to start as a beginner and potentially look silly or unskilled. Here's my advice. Let go of those sky-high expectations. No one expects you to paint like Monet in your first art class. My motto is, if something makes me uncomfortable, I know I'm in the right place, because that's where growth happens. I encourage you to take that leap of faith and tolerate the momentary discomfort for long-term gain. It gets better, and before you know it, you will blossom in ways you never expected. Here is a list of 20 creative endeavors that you might consider pursuing. You may already be doing one or more of these, or you may have new ideas to add to the list. Fantastic. Keep up the great work. 20 creative endeavors to consider. Painting, writing poetry or fiction, playing a musical instrument, photography, sculpting or poetry, dancing, singing or songwriting, acting, theater performance and improvisation, graphic design or digital art, cooking or baking creatively, crafting, e.g. knitting, crocheting, quilting, interior design or home decoration, journaling or bullet journaling, filmmaking or video editing, gardening or landscaping, calligraphy or hand lettering, designing jewelry or accessories, building models or do-it-yourself projects, woodworking or carpentry, creating comic strips or animations. Closet creatives, acknowledging your creativity without shame. I didn't know purple was my favorite color until I was in my 40s. I thought that being successful meant I had to block out all that creative stuff and focus on growing my company and being an attentive mom and partner. After 5 years of building my business, raising a family, and belly dancing, I proclaimed after a dance performance pictured here, I am an artist. My husband laughed and said, "I thought you were a diabetes specialist." I reflected for a moment and replied, "I am a diabetes specialist who sees the world through an artist's lens." Here is a photo of me taken by Joni Wise dancing at our local museum as part of a fundraising campaign. Dancing has allowed me to see myself as a nurse and a performance artist. This was a turning point in my life. By proclaiming the truth of who I am out loud, I finally recognized the importance of my artistic and scientific selves. I also realized they could stand side by side, holding hands while sharing the most intimate details of their latest discoveries. This newly revealed integration allowed me to express myself with more complexity and authenticity in my personal and professional life, and it felt great. There was a brief period of cognitive dissonance as the integration began to take hold, starting with my clothes. Little by little, my belly dancing colors seeped into my closet, and my clothes began taking on a lavender hue. Slowly, my professional wardrobe went from mainly black formal suit jackets and pencil skirts to brightly colored, flowery outfits that flounced when walking. My scientific professional side questioned if my clothes were too outlandish and wild. After all, I was a professional speaker. My artistic side gently nudged me toward a fresh, sparkly authenticity that included lots of bling, maroon highlights, hair flowers, and increased vulnerability. I was worried about rejection and pushback from my colleagues, but they loved this fun look and encouraged me to keep dressing like I was going to a party. This commitment to authentic expression made me a more effective and engaging presenter to whom my audience could relate. I incorporated more storytelling and human experiences along with evidence-based information. More professionals enrolled in my online classes and asked me to speak at their diabetes continuing education events. The universe was delivering a clear message. Stepping into my most authentic self unlocked the best version of me. More than that, it gave other people permission to move toward authenticity too. A diabetes dietitian colleague and close friend whose house burned down in the 2019 campfire has been writing morning pages for half an hour every day as encouraged in Julia Cameron's classic book, The Artist's Way. My friend has been searching for a way to honor her dietitian expertise and heal from her trauma while incorporating her love of food and cooking artistry. During a recent breakfast date, her face lit up with complete joy as she described her idea for a new business that came to her during her morning writing. She wants to start a small business to cook soups and healthy meals for her healthcare professional colleagues, blending her nutrition expertise and love into every dish. Have you dreamed about ways to combine your passion with your profession? Or have you even considered changing careers to turn your passion into profit? By allowing yourself to explore these thoughts and even actualize them, you are sending a strong message to that playful and creative inner being that they are seen and heard. Sometimes that simple acknowledgement may be the start of something magical. Pursuing creative passions helps heal trauma. As a healthcare professional, you are well-versed in hearing and witnessing trauma, and you may be holding your own trauma stories. I mentioned earlier that belly dancing changed my life forever. I might even go as far as to say it saved my life. When people think of belly dancing, it may conjure up images of a bewitching woman in glamorous outfits shaking her hips and other body parts in a Middle Eastern restaurant. When I think of belly dancing, it conjures up respect for a centuries-old dance form passed on from mother to daughter. In contrast to popular belief, belly dancing was not performed for men. Traditionally, belly dancing was performed in spaces where women gathered away from men. Today, many women consider belly dancing a fun and therapeutic activity, reconnecting them with their bodies and fostering emotional well-being and body positivity. By dancing together, women affirm their identities, share their struggles, and enjoy a sense of empowerment. Dancing with my sisters not only allowed me to express my artistry, but also opened the door to begin healing from my childhood trauma. It allowed me to reclaim my body and be grounded in its power and sensuality. This art form became a sanctuary, a space where I could twirl, shake my shaker, and move freely without shame or judgment, fully embracing the joy of my life at that moment. Creative pursuits are potent tools in the healing process for healthcare professionals and those who have survived trauma. By fostering self-expression, enhancing emotional regulation, and creating opportunities for connection, they can be a source of comfort and relief. As you heal and become more regulated, you will likely become more present at your job, home, and community. There will be more space for self-compassion and expanded grace for yourself and others. In addition to healthcare professionals, people living with diabetes often carry a history of trauma and pain that can add to the complexity of managing a very demanding chronic condition. Encouraging them to tap into their creativity can offer a respite and provide an opportunity to rediscover a long-lost passion or the joys of a newfound hobby, which can be especially helpful as a part of their overall diabetes management plan. Yet, finding a hobby is not enough for you or those with diabetes to heal. Even though I was honoring my need for self-expression and creativity, there was a deeper hidden part of me I kept ignoring and pushing aside. This shadow part, carved from past painful experiences, needed healing and attention. Like many healthcare professionals, I had been so focused on caring for my family and running my company that I failed to heed the warning signs my own body was sending me. The next chapter reveals how two unexpected health crises forced me to pause, confront what I had long ignored, and ultimately reshape the path toward my future self. These health events weren't simply obstacles. They became the turning points that redefined my understanding of resilience, self-care, and the intricate connection between mind, body, and purpose.